Hi everyone, welcome back to this exploring conversation between Greg and myself, Mary Daphne. Nice to see you all here today. We have a fun topic.
Excellent.
So our topic is mental fortitude. And if you haven't noticed, we talk a lot about it on this channel. So we figure, why not talk about what that is?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So when you think of mental fortitude, what are some adjectives that come to mind? If you had to just, like, what immediately flashes before your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I think of resilience.
Yeah.
I think of stoicism.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Right?
We're a big fan. Do you want to say what, just a one-liner about stoicism? It's hard to...
Come on, one line, I know. That's tough. But it's an ancient Greek and Roman philosophy of how to deal with challenges, right?
Yeah.
Sort of overcoming challenges through a more resilient mindset, I would say.
Right. And I feel like that's really relevant to everyone, especially these days with just everything going on, right? We have to sort of tap into that resilience and mental fortitude.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even know of people who've started getting more into stoicism in the last year or so, just in light of what's happening.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect for a situation like this. One of the tenets of stoicism is when times are good, you're preparing for the bad times.
Right.
So you take advantage of situations when you're comfortable to deliberately introduce some discomfort so that when discomfort does arrive, which it always does, I mean, that's just life. You can't always be comfortable in life.
Yeah.
When the discomfort arrives, you're more prepared for it.
Right, exactly. So it's like mentally preparing yourself for that. One of the adjectives that comes to mind for me when I think of mental fortitude is grit. It's one of my favorite adjectives. And it's really about, like, you know, sticking with it when times get tough, when you're in the face of adversity. And how are you going to gracefully, you know, act and respond? And sometimes it's not so graceful, but it's in the preparing mode. It's nice to think of ways in which you would act with grace and courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it's probably one of the most high return skills you can develop in life, I would argue.
Right. So I think the next question then is, how does one develop this mental fortitude with resilience and perseverance and grit, right? How do we then prepare for something if it were to go awry, or to, you know, even something as simple as you're planning this big trip and it gets canceled for whatever reason. Like, how do you deal with that, right? Just as a very basic example.
Well, there's been a lot of that.
There's been a lot of that, that's for sure. So do you have any tips for how to prepare yourself? If you want me to go first.
Sure.
I think one of the good ways of doing that is thinking of what could possibly go wrong, like in the planning phase. And kind of thinking about, like, what would be, like, almost the worst case scenario, and what would be the plan of action for that. Now you might be thinking, well, you might think of something that goes wrong, and then something else goes wrong that you hadn't thought of, right? And then what do you do in that situation? But I think the very act of going into problem-solving mode can help you then in the time of crisis or discomfort or uncertainty. You are then able to switch gears because you already went through the motions and find another way to come up with a solution for a different situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. What I was thinking is along similar lines, which is essentially not having rigid plans, right? So building buffer into your plans.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a really phenomenal outdoors touring trip that we like to go on as a family sometimes called Backroads. Really, really fun, cool, adventurous, active outings. And, for a Backroads trip, you need to arrive at the location within a certain amount of time so that you can start the trip with everyone. If you don't arrive when the trip starts, you kind of miss the whole trip. You have a deposit down, so you don't want to miss the trip. So, you know, an example of building in some flexibility, some resiliency is you book your flight to arrive at the destination a few days ahead of time. That way, if, you know, the flight gets canceled, you miss your flight, who knows what, you have one or two buffer days to ensure that you make it to the start of the actual Backroads outing.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's really good.
You build in a little buffer. And that's actually something that legitimately did happen to, that actually happened to us, literally happened to us. And it was lucky that we did have the buffer to sort of prevent a very sort of difficult logistical situation.
Yeah.
But you can take that same approach and apply it to pretty much anything you do. Certainly anything requiring travel, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Leave early.
Yep.
When you're budgeting time during the day, budget in extra time. So if you think a task is going to take you 30 minutes, say 45 minutes, right? That way, if you go over a little bit, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
So building that buffer helps make your plans more adaptable to unforeseen situations.
I love that. It's so true. And it's a good way of just, you know, being prepared for whatever situation arises. And the other thing on that note is doing the research. So let's say you're going on a trip and maybe there's a lot of elevation at your location, your destination. And I'll give you the example where we were in Peru, which was a great trip, very, very fun, very different. And I absolutely loved it. But the altitude wasn't the easiest thing for me personally.
It was high altitude. It was, most of it took place over 10,000 feet.
Yeah, so we arrived at elevation. So one of the best things to do with altitude and preventing altitude sickness is to gradually expose yourself to the altitude. But when you're flying in, you can't, you know, you can't really acclimate as quickly.
You're instantly in that environment.
Right. So we landed and we were at already 11,000 feet. And anything above, I think 8 or 9, I'm starting to feel. So I started feeling it, but I knew that this was a possibility of me having to, you know, figure out what the next steps would be. And so I talked to like my physician and they gave me some of the like the medication, the preventative medication that you're supposed to
Diamox.
Take. Diamox. Yeah. And yeah, that seemed to help. And I was just drinking like liters and liters of water and just being, you know, kind of like holding on with like by a string.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but the point here is that you're, you know, doing the research ahead of time allowed me to equip myself with the medication that I need, and not just I, but the other people on the group, in the group as well. And so imagine not having done the research and then just coming and landing in Cusco without any sort of like plan. Like, how are you going to procure
that? Or the knowledge that you're experiencing altitude sickness. For all you know, you got sick, right?
Right, that's a good point.
You wouldn't know that it was due to the altitude.
So true, yeah.
So basically doing your research ahead of time.
Exactly, and trying to figure out, talk to people who are about to go into a similar situation or who have already been in that kind of situation, or, you know, talking to people is a really big way of helping you sort of like recalibrate your thoughts around something.
Yeah, it's
well.
Funny. When you said acclimating, I thought you were actually going to take that in a different direction.
Oh, okay. So
which
tell
is,
us.
Building up to challenges, right?
Oh, that's good.
So not jumping straight into the highest altitude trip, for example, starting with a trip at 8,000 feet or starting that trip at 8,000 feet,
yeah.
Right? Starting in a slightly lower altitude destination and working your way up.
Yeah.
And likewise, you know, I'm thinking if you're not very experienced in planning events, don't start with your wedding.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Start with an engagement party and then maybe throw, you know, a few other things or help participate, like volunteer for some kind of event, right? Get involved in the world of event planning and logistics before you, you know, take on the full burden of something so enormous as that.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Working your way up and building up a tolerance for whatever challenge you're looking to address.
Mm-hmm.
Can go a long way towards building the resilience that you need to actually push through that challenge.
I love it. It's so good. And I hope that, you know, you have a notepad next to you, because these are some really good tips.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think that's great.
Yeah. So think about some other ways that you can develop this mental fortitude. And we'd love to hear from you. Just share those with us and the community in the comments down below. And what about other experiences in which you had to rely on that innermost resilience and inner strength? Share that with us as well, because it's always fun to get those anecdotes.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully this is helpful for you. We all have challenges. It's just a fact of life. And by developing the right mental models and strategies for addressing them, that can go a long way toward making the challenges much more surmountable, which is something we all want.
Absolutely. All right, so that's a wrap for this. And we hope that you enjoyed it. Give us a like, subscribe, share, turn that notification bell on so you get all the updates with Explorning. And we'll see you next time for another one of these. Happy Explorning!